The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
How are you?
You look ready to talk.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
All right. And our special guest, attorney Richard Finucci, who practices law out of Peckville, Pennsylvania. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Rick.
Thanks for coming in again with us. We're happy to have you. Excited.
Thank you for having me. I'm pleasure to be here.
Good. We are here every Saturday, Sunday. We discuss everything real estate. Our full-time real estate office has many full-time realtors. We are the proud recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21 for 2010 and 2011. During the week,
feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We've been listing, selling, appraising real estate for over 40 years. Okay, again, attorney Richard Finucci, who practices law, and one of your specialties is real estate law. You practice out of Peckville. Can you give me a little bit of background on you, please, sir?
Well, thank you, Jackie. We cover a 4 or 5 county area in northeastern Pennsylvania, Lackawanna County, Luzerne, Wayne, Pike, Monroe. I've been practicing for approximately 23 years, and one of our specialties and love of our office is real estate law.
You do an excellent job, fabulous job. You have a great crew that works for you, great supporting staff there. We've had the privilege of doing quite a few real estate transactions with you over the years, and it's always wonderful dealing with you in your office.
Well, thank you, Jackie, and vice versa.
Thank you. How do we get in touch with you, please?
My address is 1418 Main Street in Peckville. My phone number is 570-383-0652. And my email is lawoffice@attyfanucci.com.
Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about various topics, title searches and things of that nature. This week, I think we should talk about foreclosures, short sales, tax sales from the legal perspective. That's why you're here. We've done previous shows on those topics, but not from a legal perspective. Would you like to, you know, there's a lot of real estate out there being transferred that has been a foreclosure. We're finding ourselves in a lot of short sale situations. And to recap and define what a short sale is, because a lot of people don't realize what that means. A short sale is when someone owes more on the property, a lien holder is owed more than what the property may receive in the marketplace. So a buyer wouldn't be purchasing the property for what that seller owes to their mortgage holder.
Correct, Jackie. Actually, a short sale is a procedure that's used between a current owner who owes on their mortgage and is faced with selling the property and is unable to sell it for a price that would, you know, satisfy the full amount of the mortgage. The owner then goes into a procedure with the mortgage company whereby they go through the short sale process. They request the mortgage company to take an amount that is less than what's owed. And there's all kind of procedures that all companies and banks and lenders will have in going through that. And it can be a time-consuming, difficult process. But in some cases, it works out to the owner's benefit because the property is sold. And even though, and the key component to any short sale is that the seller will walk away usually with zero. They don't usually have to bring anything to the table, but yet they don't walk away with anything either. But the mortgage is released and satisfied, and usually they enter into an agreement with the lender to pay up the deficiency that may be owed.
So they do have to pay the deficiency?
Technically, they do. The bank or lender usually does not release the person from the obligation, which is the note itself, but they will release the property from the mortgage, which allows a person to convey the property free and clear.
But not in all cases. I mean, some, like you said, some banks have different policies.
Everybody has a different policy. And, you know, quite often we see that even though they do not release the owner from the obligation of paying the deficiency back, very often there's little ways for the bank to actually go and enforce it without having their security anymore. You know, when they release the property, they're releasing their security. And if a person doesn't really have the means to pay it, often they don't even pursue it.
Well, a lot of times people have to sell. And when they're in a short sale situation, there's something going on in their life. They have to sell the property, be it a divorce or whatever. So they're forced to sell. They know that they can't receive from a buyer what they owe on their mortgage. So they're in this situation. But sometimes what I find a lot is they're calling us, the realtors, first before they speak to an attorney. And of course, we can't give legal advice. And they're unsure of the procedure involved with the short sale. So what do you, if people come to you, if a client comes to you and tells you that they want to sell their property, but they're in a short sale situation, what advice do you give them?
I will question them, Jackie, and ask a lot about their personal situation because, you know, honestly, a short sale isn't really the way to go for most people. Most people, it's beneficial to simply walk away from the property and let the bank foreclose. There are various reasons why people want to go through a short sale process. It does help your credit a little better than having a mortgage foreclosure on it. So it does show that the mortgage was satisfied or compromised. So it doesn't give you as bad of a credit rating. And there's other personal reasons why people might want to go through the real extra effort and expense of going through a short sale as opposed to simply letting the bank take it. So I would scrutinize their background and say, what are your reasons for wanting to do this?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here with us today for the third week in a row is attorney Richard Finucci, who practices law out of Peckville, Pennsylvania. And we're talking about short sales and why someone would want to go through a short sale. Sometimes it's a have-to situation, but if I heard you properly, sometimes your advice is to actually have that foreclosure take place, and sometimes that's more beneficial to somebody.
I would say in more cases than not, Jackie, it's usually what would happen. A person gets into a situation where they can no longer pay their mortgage. The fees and the costs rapidly escalate, which, you know, puts the home in a situation where the value is less than what's owed. So it's not conceivable sometimes for someone to want to have to go through a short sale. But there are reasons and times where it may be feasible.
Okay. Well, from a real estate perspective, and I could share that with you, I know that for us as realtors, it is very difficult from start to finish when we are in a short sale situation. Buyers need to be notified. In fact, when we do our listings in the multi-list and we put them in the computer, there is a special field that says whether it is a short sale or not, because buyers who are in a tenant-landlord situation renting a property need to know timelines, time frames as to when they expect to be out of their apartment so that their landlord could rent it. Or whatever the situation may be. Buyers do want to know when they can occupy a property. Short sales, everything is unknown. It is sometimes torturous.
Now, what is the record for a short sale that you had on yours? Didn't you have one last year that went on for like
18 months?
18 months. A sale going on for 18 months.
And that buyer hung in there. He was an investor, so he could. It wasn't that he needed to move into the property, and he wanted the property. But yeah, these short sales, and there's supposed to be some sort of legislation going on where Congress or the government is trying to streamline these short sales, make them easier, shorter time frames. I don't see it yet happening in what I do. Any opinions regarding any of that?
Yes, Jackie, you're right. You know, the timeline does vary from lender to lender. And honestly, the lender who you're dealing with really makes the difference as to whether a short sale would be feasible. That would be something else that I would scrutinize at the time the client would come to me and, you know, indicate that they might be interested in a short sale in addition to whatever personal reasons exist. It absolutely needs to be disclosed to a realtor up front, because the realtor as well as the potential buyers really need to know what they're getting into, because there are no guarantees. In the end, you could go through the process and they will make the owner fill out lots of documents, lots of paperwork, and get involved, submit things about their financial background, their current financial situation. They're going to run credit reports. So they don't approve these very lightly. So it can take a very long time, but there, right now in the law, there is no set time and there is no obligation ultimately for the bank to approve it.
Yes, and one of the things that we tell people that they have to do is they have to write a hardship letter. And then they have to give us authorization along with their accounts and social security numbers. And we have to have a contact at these places to be able to call sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day.
I have a situation in my office right now where about 30 days has gone by since we initially notified the banks. And this is a situation where it's a national bank who just happened to have sold this loan to another servicer. So unlucky for us, my client, we got caught in a situation where it's being transferred. I wrote to the two institutions knowing that one was would be taking over, and then the old bank, who is notoriously more difficult to deal with. If, you know, local lenders, it's almost a home run.
Right.
And let me point out, Jackie, that, you know, a short sale could be beneficial to the lender. And I make that pitch. When I initially get on the phone, if I can make contact, and you can't always make contact with a human, but I point out not only in my calls or in my letters, this is good for you. If you want to achieve what's in your best interest, you want to do this deal, because essentially what you're doing is, even though they may take less, they may take a little bit of a haircut on what they're actually owed, you're doing all the work for them, because a mortgage foreclosure process just escalates the fees tremendously.
Well, sure, they spend a lot more money foreclosing on a property than they probably realize more to their bottom line with the short sale.
Absolutely.
I agree. Okay, we're headed towards a break. Before we go, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home in South Scranton in very good condition at 513 Palm Street for only $77,000. This home has a large master bedroom with a large walk-in closet. The home is move-in ready. It has a large level lot, great room sizes, covered rear porch, and a concrete patio in the rear. So if you're looking for a great deal on a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home, give us a call about 513 Palm Street in Scranton for only $77,000, and that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gruddy Real Estate. We will be back after a very brief break on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
You look lovely.
And you seem to be.
Too bad everybody can't see how beautiful you are
today. Thank you very much. And you seem to be.
Rick, you're very handsome, too. I don't want to. You're very handsome. Well, You're a handsome young man.
Please don't slight our guests. And you seem to be in an excellent mood. So we'll hear more from you on the second half, I'm sure. And our special guest, attorney Richard Finucci, who practices law out of Peckville. Good morning again.
Good morning, Jackie.
Now, before the break, we talked about short sales and the process procedure with a short sale. And that's when someone, a seller, owes more on the house, has a mortgage that's more than what they would realize if they sold the house to a buyer who's probably going to pay far less than what is owed. So they're in this short sale situation. And you said that in terms of your clients and your recommendations and the way that you help them make decisions in their lives, sometimes a foreclosure is the way to go. So let's talk about foreclosures and that process.
Understand, Jackie, I see a lot of misconception about foreclosures and sheriff sales. A foreclosure is what goes through a sheriff sale. People often confuse a sheriff sale with a tax sale, which is another way to acquire a property, which we'll talk about. But as far as foreclosures, a foreclosure is basically where a judgment creditor, usually a mortgage company, seeks to take the real estate back because it's secured usually by a mortgage. There's a default on the note, and then the mortgage foreclosure provisions of the mortgage are triggered. Mostly every county in Pennsylvania has periodic sheriff sales scheduled in advance throughout the year. Sometimes in the busier counties or bigger counties, it's once a month. Most often it's once every 2 months. And what happens is the property is put up for sale, and it's an auction type setting where bids are given, and the successful bidder, it's very simplistic, but the successful bidder then takes the property.
Now, does the bidder, can they go for financing?
No. And that's one of the downfalls, and there are many, by the way, to purchasing a property at a sheriff sale. Purchasing such a property is really not for the inexperienced. Number one, if one is ever interested in purchasing a property at a sheriff sale, my first good advice is contact and consult with a qualified real estate attorney who will guide you and through the procedure and the pros and cons of the sale. But it is not necessarily an easy procedure. You need to do your homework. You need to have you should have a title search done to see exactly what's out there. You need to check the foreclosure action to see whether or not the legal requirements that are required have been met. And there are many that could make the procedure defective, which would mean that the sale would ultimately be defective and which could invalidate the title down the road. You should contact the creditor's attorney who's handling the sale to see if there's any other things, make communication, mainly to see whether or not the sale will actually be listed, because the great majority of sales never make it, especially the first time they're listed. They're inherently continued. The owner may file for bankruptcy, which puts an automatic stop to the sale. So you really need to know what you're doing, and it's best to have an attorney guiding you.
Excellent advice. Now, and also, I was wondering if one of those downfalls, pitfalls, is the type of deed that you receive from these. Are you talking about like a quick claim deed when you're talking about downfalls or pitfalls?
No. Actually, if done properly and assuming that all procedures are followed, buying a foreclosed property is actually a good way to get title, as opposed to sometimes what you would get in a tax upset sale. And let me explain. Some of the other risks that are inherent in buying a foreclosed property, if you go to the sheriff sale, I'm saying,
okay.
I'm not talking about later that the property has already gone through the sale. This is a situation where I'm saying you are looking to be a bidder at the sale. And rarely does one go in and actually buy a property at a sheriff sale in a foreclosure. Because there's, again, the procedure needs to be scrutinized. There's usually way too much involved for the average person to know to go in and just buy the property. You have to have 10% in cash or certified check. There is no mortgage contingencies. You can't say, well, I'll buy this if I can go get a mortgage. No, there's none of that.
No inspections
as is, no warranties, and usually you're buying sight unseen. You know, you might be able to drive by or walk around the property, but you usually can't get
you're
in.
You're not physically going through the property.
And often the prior owner is still occupying the property. That happens in many situations. And, wow. You know, you go in and buy that, you're stuck with that problem.
Interesting. Now, in terms of the already foreclosed, the process has been gone through. It's a foreclosed property. It's on the market, and it's with the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors. Let me just tell you, share with you some statistics so far. The last full month on record is October. 24 were foreclosed properties that were bought. And year to date, 300 foreclosed properties were sold, bought by usually people that either want to live in them or an investor. A lot of investors like foreclosed properties, and they know the process. Now, what type of advice do you have for your clients or anybody out there that's thinking about foreclosed properties? Before, you mentioned the sheriff sales aren't for the timid or for just your common person, but you know, usually you have to go in with some sort of knowledge about things. Same, I think, advice would be for those that are looking at foreclosed properties that are for sale through the multi-list.
Often, Jackie, I will advise my clients who call me, and I do get calls very frequently about a property that is coming up for the upcoming sheriff sale. And we go through the whole scenario and the whole discussion, and I indicate to them, look, your best bet is usually to wait until the property goes through the sale, because 9.5 out of 10 times it's going to be the bank or the lender who is going to go in and just bid on their own property for the amount that they're owed. Once that happens, a sheriff's deed is then tendered at some point. In some counties, it may take several months. But once that happens, and assuming everything was done right, the bank now owns the property and a person can go and buy it free and clear of all headaches, all liens, all costs.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. The deeds for the sheriff sales, why do they take so long to record? And why should these banks be allowed to list these properties for sale if they can't transfer ownership?
Well, as far as the time period, Jackie, understand that after the sheriff sale occurs, and usually the bank will, you know, be the successful bidder at the sale, there's a procedures that need to be followed. At some point, the sheriff's office is required to then issue what's called a schedule of distribution, and that could take a few months in and of itself. And, you know, the prior owner always has a right to come in and file objections. Doesn't happen often, but it can happen. And it varies from sheriff's office to sheriff's office as to, you know, how they handle it. But it does take some time, sometimes 6 to 8 months.
Sure, I've been
post-sale.
Been involved in that.
As far as these properties that become listed, and there's nothing more that irks, I know a lot of attorneys, including myself, as well as realtors, is that a property that they're going, that is on the market, that later turns out to be not even legally titled in the bank as of yet. And it's not technically titled in the bank until the sheriff sale goes through. Far too many times, we have seen realtors who will enter into a listing agreement with a lender to list the property for sale long before it even gets to the sheriff sale, which is improper, in my opinion, because they're actually trying to sell a property they don't own.
Well, that would make the listing contract invalid. I'm sure this is another discussion for another day, but that's what I'm thinking as you're talking about improper procedures.
Correct. It absolutely would be invalid.
Okay. That all makes a sale difficult when you think you have a buyer ready to buy a property in position to buy, because a lot of times, from the buyer's perspective, as a realtor working with the buyer, we have to pretty much have everything in place, dotting our I's, crossing our T's, have a ton of paperwork signed in order, proof of funds, because usually we're dealing with cash. Although foreclosed properties can be financed, it's just a little trickier. But a lot of times we're dealing with people that are working with cash, and you're buying the property as is. You have to have all these papers in place, and then you find out that they don't even own the property, which makes it so difficult.
Very frustrating, Jackie. And, you know, let's recap. Property is put up for a sheriff sale. Bank buys it back. once the process goes through, they get their deed. Usually at that point, they will then turn it over to a duly qualified real estate agent to market and list the property for sale. Often neighbors or other people who are interested in the property will be keeping their eye on it, and sometimes will contact the mortgage company or their attorney directly just prior to or just after the sale and say, hey, look, I'm interested in this. So sometimes the real estate agency might be bypassed, but not often. I think in most cases, the banks don't like dealing with potential buyers directly. The lawyers who did the foreclosure don't like dealing with the people directly, so they will always hand it over to a realtor. And then from there, the normal sale process picks up. And you're right, there are usually very strict conditions that these banks will put on potential buyers. Number one, they're going to say, we want this sold as is. We don't want anybody, if they want to come in and look before they sign, they can look. But if otherwise, there's no right to do inspections, no time periods. Some banks will go as far, depending on the circumstances, especially if they're selling the property for substantially less than what they had taken it back for, than what was owed on the mortgage. They're going to say cash only. We're not going to allow anybody to go out and get a mortgage. Remember, banks do not want to be in the real estate business. That's the last thing they want to do is foreclose, really. And they just want it off their hands. So, you know, if they have to write off what they have to write off, that's what they do.
Interesting. And foreclosures are down nationally. I noticed last September was the lowest in the last 5 years. I'm wondering, though, they do say that there is some shadow inventory that some of the banks are holding back. Well, time will tell on that. But this has been an interesting discussion. We're at that point in our show. We're ready to close. Before we close, Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes. We have a 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath home conveniently located in the Greenwood section of Moosic for only $89,000. This home has a gas fireplace in the master bedroom and another fireplace in the living room, a tiled half bath on the first floor, tile flooring in the kitchen, a low maintenance yard, and a 3-car parking pad. It also has a partially finished second level with the possibility of 2 additional bedrooms. So if you're looking in Moosic, give us a call about 502 Rear School Street, a 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath home for only $89,000. And that is listed by John Pendrack of our office.
Thank you, Pat, and thank you, Rick, Attorney Richard Finucci, for the third week in a row talking today about short sales and foreclosures. We did enjoy our discussion with you.
I did immensely, Jackie, and thank you again for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Will you come back next week?
I absolutely will.
All right, great. We'd love to have you. And I'd like to review the Greater Scranton Board of Realtors statistics for the last full month on record, October. I like to share this with the listeners from time to time. Average sales price year to date is almost the same, a little higher in 2012 than it was in 2011. The average sales price is hovering at $141,500. And average list price is almost spot on year to date for 2011, 2012, right around the 184.5 mark. The sold listings so far this year, we are almost 4% above where we were last year at this time. And we're looking good on pending listings for year to date from 2011 to 2012. We're higher on that in the month of October. We were way over where we were in October of 2011. There's almost 20% change there. So if everything goes to close, these are the pending listings that are under contract between a seller and a buyer. If everything closes, 2012 will be a better year than 2011. And thank heavens for that, because it looks like things are moving in the direction we want it to. Wrapping it up, we'd like to thank everyone who listened today, and happy Thanksgiving. This week is Thanksgiving. Enjoy your holiday with your family or friends. And remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable during the week.
Feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call toll free at 888-399-5225.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.